On the line now, I have Gay McKeown, CEO of Peabody. Illan, am I pronouncing that right, Gay?
No, yeah, it's Peabody Illan. Yeah, the Illan Piper Society. Yeah.
Okay, before you tell me about that, there's traditional music recital on the first Tuesday of every month in a great venue in the cobblestone there.
Yeah, in the back room, yeah.
What time is that on
it starts at 9:30, Noel, and it runs usually till about 11:30 or so, with a little bit of a break. And normally we have three acts in each half, and the musicians, singers from around the country, and we have we always have an Illan Piper take part, because obviously we promote the playing of the Illan Pipes, you know.
Yeah, okay, and that's the first Tuesday of every month.
Yeah, indeed, yeah.
Okay, and do you have a website as well?
We do, yeah. We have www.pipers.ie, so pipers.ie, and there's all the upcoming events are listed there, and then there's loads of resources for people. Actually, you can see videos of previous concerts. There's a section called Source, and if you click on there and you go to videos, you'll see, because we film every event, mm-hmm. and we edit the film, and we put them on our archive, and so if people want to look at that and to get a flavour of what the event is like, you know. And the event is called Session with the Pipers, and it's on in the back room in the cobblestone on the first Tuesday of every month.
Mm-hmm. Now, the first I knew of the Pipes was way back. My first hearing of them was around 1968, around the time. But they weren't very popular at that time, were they?
Well, they were certainly on. They were at a low ebb at that time. I started playing a few years just before that, and so I remember that era very well. And then actually, that was the year that the Peabody Illan was set up, because things were so poorly with the Illan Pipes generally. There was less than 100 Illan Pipers in the world, and there was very few children. I was among a handful of people that were learning the pipes at that time, and there was only one full time maker, Leo Rosam, and he was the guy who was teaching me. He operated at Dunnycarney there, just off Collins Avenue in Belton Park, and he was the only full time maker in the world, and he was teaching, and he was the main teacher. There were some people teaching in Cork and Belfast, but so it was pretty old. The majority of the players were of an age, you know, they were 60 and plus, you know, at that time, so there was very few young people coming through, and it was hard to get instruments. So the Peabody Illan was formed, Noel, in 1968 in Bessiestown at a meeting to promote the playing and the making of the Illan Pipes and Irish traditional music in general. And now we have members, I'd say there's several thousand Illan Pipers around the world, and we've members in over 40 countries, and there's about 60 makers in the world. So that's the whole situation has improved greatly.
The 60 in the world, and at 40 of them are in Ireland, is that right?
Well, I'd say about there's more outside of Ireland than in Ireland. There'd be more the other way. There'd be 40 outside, and then. But we set up a pipe making training centre, because you're uniquely Irish instrument, and it was said in pre-famine times there was an Illan Piper in every town and village, and the music was being composed by pipers and harpers. So back then, so we didn't have all the instruments we have nowadays, but we did have the Illan Pipes, and. It'd be a shame if the majority of the instruments would be made outside of Ireland, Noel. So we set up a pipe making training centre in Clonshock in Dublin, and we set that up about 3 years ago, and we've been doing training, part-time courses and full-time courses, and the profile and the of the makers is changing, and there's certainly a lot more emerging makers in Ireland, and it's a lot easier now to get pipes than it was a few years ago, you know.
Okay, can you tell me the difference, for someone who knows very, very little about them, the difference between what they're made of, and also the difference between what distinguishes them from bagpipes, say?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, that's a fairly common question. The big thing with the Illan Pipes is that they're not mouth blown. So we use a bellows to inflate the and get the air into the instrument. So so that's one difference. The other difference is that there's more notes on the Illan Pipes. So typically on a set of bagpipes there'll be 9 notes, and the Illan Pipes you can get it at least 16 notes, and you can get a lot of you can get more than that, but that's the basic instrument. You can get 16 notes, which so 16 as against 9. The other thing is obviously they're not near as loud. They're a much quieter instrument, and the bagpipes have drones like the Illan Pipes, But the one thing that makes the Illan pipes quite different is that you have what we call regulators. There's a section of them. So there's three sounds with the Illan pipes. The chanter, which would be where you play the melody, would be like, say, a tin whistle or a flute. Mm-hmm. And then you have the drones that are constant sound. And then you have the regulators that you play accompaniments, either harmonic and or rhythmical accompaniment to tunes. So you have three sounds going on. So it's a very complex instrument. It's probably fair to say it's probably the most complex instrument in the world, and it's like a mini orchestra because you've got three different sounds going. So you're pumping with the bellows, you're pressing the bag, you're using your fingers to play the chanter, and you're using your wrists to play the regulators. So mm-hmm. there's a lot going on. So it's a very complex instrument. And the other thing is, you have to sit down to play the pipes in the Illan pipes. You don't see marching bands with Illan pipers because they need to have the chanter on their knees to play the second octave. So you can't do that if you're walking or marching.
Okay,
so
and
there's quite a lot of differences. Yeah.
Would it be fair to say though it is a lot of sweet? It's a sweeter sound than the bagpipes.
Yeah, people comment on that. You know, they tend to it's quieter, not as loud, and people tend to comment that it's sweeter and. Very pleasant, you know.
And does it always have to be part of a group or a selection of people, or could you give a solo performance?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, the essence of the Illan pipes in the main was solo performance.
Okay.
And even to this day is, like, people hear the Illan pipes now with orchestras or with bands or groups. Or I say, typically, you know, with the likes of the Chieftains, the Botty Band, the Sean O'Reilly, Kiltory Cool, and Clangsty, bands like that. But the main... situations that people perform the Illan pipes tends to be in a solo situation.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very much a solo instrument, and but it has been adopted a lot to by players to play in different musical genre and in different musical settings, you know.
Okay.
So that's quite common.
Is it a hard instrument to learn how to play?
It's said to be a very complex instrument to learn. My own feeling is I teach a lot and I've been playing a long time. You start with a practice set of pipes, which is basically a bellows, bag and chanter,
mm-hmm.
because it's too complex to start with a full set. But typically people will play in a bellows, bag and chanter for two and a half years or so, and then get what they call a half set, add on drones, and then after another year or two, add on regulators. And so you add on as you go along, and you kind of you get used to the complexities over time. Otherwise, it'd be too complex to start with a full set of pipes. And that's a good thing, because the investment and the cost is a lot less when you start, you know.
Okay. I'll ask you that question in a minute, but I was just listening to or reading about, for instance, the most popular instrument, which surprised me. I used to think it was the guitar or the piano, yeah. but it's actually the ukulele. And people are buying them, and they're very popular, but especially at Christmas. And I think the Illan pipes is in there somewhere as well. You did mention there about the length of time. 2 years, would that be the around the time it takes to learn it? Or would someone have a natural talent to learn it quicker?
Look, I mean, I teach people a lot, and within weeks we have people playing a tune. Typically, for the first week, you just get used to holding them and inflating them, getting the sound. The second week, start learning the scale. Maybe third week, perfecting the scale. Then playing little exercises, arpeggios and stuff like that. So after 3 or 4 weeks, it's very typical for people to be playing the first tune, you know.
And more young people getting... Is there more young people getting interested in them as well?
Yeah, absolutely, Noel. Yeah, we for example, we do a lot of outreach teaching, but we teach in Henrietta Street, our headquarters in 15 Henrietta Street, on a Tuesday evening. We have 80 students, the majority of them. Well, we have them all ages. They range from 7 or 8 years of age up to 70 years of age and in between. But the majority are young people, preteens, teens, up to through college years and that. And so the majority would be, yeah, there's a huge interest out with young people, and we do outreach teaching in Drogheda, Dundalk, in Portlaoise. We teach in Child Vision in Drumcondra and in a few of the schools around Dublin, and we have a lot of internet based tuition as well and publication. So we do a huge amount of tuition.
Okay.
The majority of people are young people.
And
the other thing that's significant is that there's a lot of girls and females taking up the Illan pipes, which wasn't the case for years for no particular reason, just that it wasn't the case.
Okay.
You know.
And you mentioned their costs. Is it an expensive instrument? And is it broken down to the extent if you get certain parts of it? Or do you have to buy the whole instrument?
Basically, well, there's a couple of options. One, we do a pipes on loan scheme. We have over 100 sets out in loan. Now, we tend to have a waiting list, but we tend to try and move people on. The majority of people we give out pipes on loan to, normally after a year or two, they acquire and buy a set of their own. Typically, to buy a practice set of pipes, you're investing around €1,000 on a bag, bellows and chanter. But the good news, if people don't stick with it or they want to, it's very rare that people don't get at least their money back if they want to resell them or if they want to move on to a more expensive instrument or get a half set or a full set. But you can add on, you can add on the drones then, so after a couple of years, and add on the regulator. So you can be gradually buying the set over a number of years, you know.
And when you mentioned migrating to other countries and all the trainers around the world, what countries are we talking about? Are we talking about Europe, America, integrating into other types of music?
Yeah, absolutely. The one thing that attracts people to the Eland pipes is the sound. It's a unique sound. So people say, watch the film like Braveheart. They think it's bagpipes, but it's actually Eland pipes, mm-hmm. and they go seeking the sound, or they go to Riverdance, or they go hear the Chieftains, or Liam O'Flynn, or whoever, the Furies, or whatever. And they hear the Eland pipes, and they get captivated with the sound. So it's hard to imagine this, but like we have members, like we have an International Eland Pipe Day in October each year, and we would have people in all around North America, Canada, into South America, Argentina, Brazil. There's a number of Eland Pipers in Cuba, down New Zealand, Australia, Singapore, and to all the countries in Europe. It's quite amazing. There's a great appetite for them. And yes, in the main, people tend to like to play Irish traditional music on them, but people play other types of music, and we're just delighted that they're playing music and enjoying music and celebrating their talents and dancing they tend to play in the main though Irish music, and there's a strong Pipers Club in Moscow, all around the world.
Can I ask you now about the music recital that starts on the first Tuesday of every month? Now you have some great people there are going to be there demonstrating their skills. Will there be some people from abroad coming over in the course of the months that's coming up in the cobblestone?
I just have to think. Yeah, I actually haven't got the list in front of me. Okay. You might have it there in front of you.
Well, I just have Conor Bourne and Leonard Barry.
For example, Conor Bourne and Leonard Barry, they're pipes and flute duet, and they have a band. They're playing in Vicar Street soon, mm-hmm. and they're doing a concert. But they would be, Leonard is from Kerry, Connor is Dublin based, and who else is on that lineup? I'm sorry, I don't have the list.
No, you're okay. You just have Leonard Barry and Luke. Well, that's about it.
Luke Cheevers, a singer from Dublin, and so we would, it depends on different months, we would have people who come from abroad. It depends on the particular month, but it's very varied. Like last month we had Johnny Moynihan singing, Johnny Hughes King with the Dead On and Planksty and Sweeney's Man. He was an amazing singer. So we tend to have a singer or some solo players or maybe a duet player, but they'd be all outstanding musicians and singers, you know.
Okay. Yeah.
And very, 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 very entertaining. We get a great audience, and we're always delighted. There's a special rate for unwaged, or there's a concession rate, all are very, very welcome, you know.
Okay, just reading there about singer Phil Callaly as well. So it's going to be quite an entertaining night on the first Tuesday.
Yeah, Phil is singing next Tuesday night. Phil sings with the Boys Squad, and he's sang with many bands over the years, and he has a fantastic repertoire of songs, a lot of, that he collected from Frank Hart. So Phil is with us as well next Tuesday night.
Okay, can I ask you now, teaching is provided voluntarily in Henrietta Street. So is there a time can people just drop in, or do you have to?
People can call into New Peebril, and our offices are open there 9 to 5, Monday to Friday. But we often have events in the evening time. So on the third Friday of each month, for example, at 8:30, we have a series called Notes and Narratives. where people talk about an aspect of Irish music and perform, you know, have performance or recordings involved. Then we have the classes. People can call in. If people want to come in, the classes, well, they start early from 5 o'clock and they walk through. But the best time, if people want to come in and observe classes, is say from 7 to 8 or 8 to 9 on every Tuesday night. And basically, people are welcome to call in. But if people have an interest, they should contact our office, 01873-0093. That's 01873-0093. Or email us info@pipers.ie. If people want to express an interest in learning the pipes or want to inquire about the classes, we're delighted to hear from people. And if they look up our website, they can see upcoming events.
Can I ask you something? Did I mishear you, or did you say you've been playing them since the 60s?
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, I've been playing.
Well, you sound like you're about 20 years old, and you've sort of just you're so enthusiastic there. You sound like you've only just started playing.
Yeah, well, I was very privileged. My family, there was no music in my family, but my father had heard Leo Rosen perform when my father was young, and he fell in love with the sound of the pipe. So he kind of befriended Leo and the Illan Pipers, and I was learning classical piano, and I think I was I wasn't practicing as much as I should have. Noel, so I went in to observe classes with Leo Rosen, and Leo was a lovely, lovely man, very kind. And he said to me, would I try the pipes? And sir, I said, I'll give it a go. And he encouraged me greatly. Oh, I didn't apply myself as much as I probably should have early on, but I certainly got the bug and they got into my bones. Because the nature of the instrument, they really get into you, you know.
Certainly did,
so
with
I'm very
you.
Privileged now. I play and I teach, and you know, I just love I love playing and I love being around pipes.
Well, I have to say your enthusiasm is quite infectious, and it's been a pleasure talking to you. So that's the first Tuesday.
Right, indeed, Noel. Just the first Tuesday of every month.
In the cobblestone.
Yeah, at 9:30 in the back room. It's called Session with the Pipers. That's how we advertise it. And everybody's really welcome. And it's a lovely atmosphere. Honest to God, people come, and very varied artists in the range and geographic spread of artists as well, you know.
So I'll have to try and get in and see myself.
You'd be very welcome, Noel, and if you come in to do say hello to us, we'd be delighted to talk to you. And indeed, if anybody, yourself or anybody wants to, and your listeners like to call to us at Henrietta Street, we'd love
okay,
to
okay, give us the website again.
www.pipers.ie. And if www.pipers.ie, and if they want to email us, it's info@pipers.ie, and if they want to phone, it's 01873-0093. So anything you want to know about the Illan Pipes, or if we can help people, we're more than delighted to do that.
Okay, thanks very much, Gay. It's been a great pleasure talking to you.
It was a pleasure, yeah, and very nice to talk to you.
Thank you,
Noel. Thank you very much.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. And that's Gay McKeown there, CEO of Feabarry Uilleann. And every first Tuesday of the month, they're in the cobblestone, as you said there, from 9 o'clock or so, around that time, till around 11:30. There's lots of music and singing, but the enthusiasm there, really. It's wonderful, wonderful. Makes me want to go there and learn how to play them.